Thank you guys for inviting. And I said to you before, I'm a big listener of your podcast, and sometimes when I'm looking for different opinion or different voice, it does help me to listen for other coaches. So keep on doing this great job, because I think all the goalkeepers around the world are listening to you, and you're making a big impact today coaching.
Hello guys, and welcome to a new episode of the Gloves On podcast. We're your host, Alexander Brams, and alongside me is Marcus Sundin, as always. And today, we are joined by goalkeeper coach Justinos Gazioúnas. Welcome.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thanks very much for inviting me to the podcast. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to have you on. So, Justinos, we're going to start off quick, like we always do, with four fire questions. So, here we go. Gloves on or gloves off?
A mix. I think I started with gloves on most of the time, but over the years, now more and more I notice myself not wearing the gloves, especially now with the hot weather also.
Yes.
I don't need them that much as I used to have them in England, but even the style of my coaching changed a lot over the years, and I tend not to use much volleys and stuff like that, so I often find myself not wearing gloves, so because I don't really need them, or I need to change the camera angle and so on. So sometimes they get even in the way. But sometimes I still like to put them on, and I still have a pair with me all the time. So I'm still traditional, like to have one with me, but I think nowadays more off than on.
Great answer. We'll dig into favorite goalkeeper of all time.
Oh, this is a tough one. Yeah, favorite of all time, because it's very hard to pick.
Yes.
I probably have to go for Buffon, because mainly as I was growing up, he was already playing. I was very interested in his career, and just because he's still playing and he had a legacy left behind him, and that's why he probably have to be the greatest of all time. There's plenty of goalkeepers that are very great playing along him, but he's the only one who's still playing now, so I have to say that he left the greatest legacy probably. For me,
Gianluigi Buffon. Yes, got it. Favorite goalkeeper you have played with or coached?
Oof, this is very tricky, because I've coached so many great goalkeepers. So for me, it will be very hard to pick one. I think I've been fortunate enough to meet so many great goalkeepers in my coaching career. Also, coached together with some great goalkeepers in Brighton. That used to be good coaches now, but used to be a former good goalkeeper. So it'll be very hard to single one out. So it's difficult. Sorry.
Fair. We'll hear some of them later.
Yes, hopefully we can talk about them in the podcast.
Yes. Most important aspect within goalkeeping.
Decision making.
Great answer. Great. Perfect. That
if
was
it had to be a short answer. So this is
it's perfect. That's perfect. That's all good. Okay. So Justinos, can you tell us a little bit about yourself for the listeners out there?
Okay. Yeah, I will try to make it short. As first of all, thanks very much for pronouncing my name correctly. You must be the first person to do it, because most of people say BJ, but name is Justinos. Originally grew up in Lithuania, had my career in there, which was very average and short, about 24. As most of the players in Lithuania, when you play a football about 24, 25, you start to realize, can you make it to the level where you can earn money from it, or you have to do something else? So at 24, I felt like I probably won't be able to make decent money from it. So I decided to stop playing football and went into the coaching. I had my master's degree by then, because I finished university in sports university in Lithuania while playing. And I decided to move to England, because I just finished university. I thought I'll go there for a couple of years just to try some luck. Maybe I learned something. Because 14, 15 years ago, there was nothing about goalkeeping in Lithuania. So I wanted to go learn something, and then in a couple of years, maybe come back to coach in Lithuania. The way life worked out, that I ended up staying nearly 15 years in England. So start in England was very difficult. worked all the jobs possible, from in the from fish shops to building sites and everything like that, until I started to get chances to work in football. My first job in England was working in the parks, just voluntary coaching young goalkeepers, like under 9s and 10s, every Saturday, Sunday. And after that, going to building sites and coffee shops to make the ends meet. Then I got lucky enough, I met Ozzy Ibanji, who was then academy director at Brentford. And he invited me to join the academy as a part-time goalkeeping coach. And that was kind of my break in football. So I spent nearly 4 years in Brentford, eventually get promoted to the head of goalkeeping for Brentford Academy. So was working a lot with under-23s, under-18s, sometimes even helping out with the first team goalkeepers. So had a very good time then. But then the next step for me was moving into the slightly bigger club, and Brighton at the time were expanding, having a big plans to go to Category 1 Academy and wanted to go to Premier League. So I had the opportunity to join the day team, which I took. And I moved with my family to Brighton, and I spent nearly 9 years, amazing 9 years in Brighton, working with the majority of time with the professional development phase goalkeepers in like under 18 teams. And then during my time in Brighton, opportunity came up to work as a national team coach in Lithuania, which I was very happy to take. And that was kind of my first break into the men's football. I was still managing like both jobs. I was lucky enough that Brighton people supported me and they allowed me to go during the national breaks to work with national team. And after, I was coming back to work with the youth level. So it was a good experience then, because I could go with the national team and play. Although Lithuanian team is not that big, but we have good senior goalkeepers that play abroad. And also we always used to face top oppositions like Serbia, Portugal, Italy, and so on. So it was a great experience for me, for the third job in men's football. And then, unfortunately, after 3 years with national team, as everywhere, the manager got fired and I got moved with him. So, but the things worked out even better, because 4 months later, my friends who was managing in Ludogorets before, got job in Hajduk. And he offered me to join him with him. His name was Valdas Dombrauskas, and I'm very thankful for him, because he gave me the first big break in the professional men's football. So we spent nearly 1 year in Hajduk, which was probably one of the most amazing time in my professional career as a goalkeeping coach in men's side. It's an amazing club with a fantastic fan base. I get to work with some top goalkeepers like Lovre Kalinic and Daniel Subasic, who are both national goalkeepers for Croatia, both had fantastic careers playing for Premier League clubs and for Monaco 10 years in. So it was a great experience for me as a young coach. When I joined them, I was like just turning 37. So we spent amazing 11 months there. Unfortunately, after that, we managed to win the Croatian Cup, first time in 10 years for them. Done really well in Europe, but then we got unlucky with the draw and we got Villarreal in the final stage of Conference League, and unfortunately dropped out from there. Then we lost the Cup Super Final to Dinamo, and a month later, manager got moved on, and I decided to go with the manager because we got on really well. And after about a couple months, he got a new job in Crete, and I end up here, and now my 7 months in Greece. Again, different challenge with different type of goalkeepers, and I'm really enjoying it at the moment. So this is in a short way, sum up my career and how I started in football and how I made it to up till this point.
Yeah, really interesting. It sounds like you've experienced a lot, everything from youth goalkeepers to senior goalkeepers to old legends like Kalinic and Subasic. I know us Danish people, we don't like Subasic too much because he was too good against Denmark.
Too many penalties.
Too many penalties. Eriksen, perfect shot, but Subasic knew where he was shooting, so perfect save.
I think that game still stands as the world record for penalty saves in one game. No, because I think in full time they saved Schmeichel and Subasic saved like four penalties, if I'm correct.
Yeah, four or five maybe. It's I think Subasic saved three and Schmeichel two or something like that. It was
but even in the main
very
game,
annoying. It was Schmeichel saved in 118th minute something like that from Modric. Yes, yes. But yeah, very unfortunate for us.
Up and down game. Yeah, that's
it. Was it was.
Amazing every experience. Time I see Daniel, he still remembers that game and very well.
Of course, he's gonna remember it forever. Him getting injured also was very unfortunate. But let's come back to it. So you working with youth players, everything from U9 to U23s and then to men's. How have your style developed and like kind of your philosophy learned within these different keepers?
Like over the, like I can say 15 years in coaching, I went through all the ladders from coaching in the parks to coaching at some elite senior goalkeepers. So, but one thing I always notice everywhere I go, I can learn something from someone else. And I've never seen one the same goalkeeper or one the same person that I work with. Every person has some kind of experience or some kind of style that he carries with him. So if I approach every person differently, I think I would learn from him a little bit, and also I can help them to learn something from me. But so that's the more I went into men's football, I quickly realized that if I base my philosophy on ownership and players oriented philosophy, then I'll help the players much more. So, and basically main reason why I decided to base my belief and philosophy on players orientated rather than coach orientated philosophy, it was that when I got my first national team job, I was 34. So relatively young, I went to work with the senior goalkeepers, had pretty much very average or basically nothing career as a player myself. So I had to find the ways to get buy-in from the goalkeepers. At that time, Lithuania had very good goalkeepers. Ernestas Šetkus, who was a Lithuanian legend, played in Ado Den Haag, played in Israel, in Greece, and top level. Emilio Zubas, also one of the top goalkeepers in Israel at that time. So they're all senior goalkeepers. And all. So Ernestas was the same age as me, also 34. So I had to think how I'm going to go there and how I'm going to get the buy-in from the goalkeepers to trust me and to believe in me and to believe in my work. So one thing I decided straight away that I need to go and speak to the goalkeepers and go through what they want when they come to national team, what they need, and give them ownership in their own development. So they understand that I'm there to help them to become better, not to impose my belief onto them, rather to work together. And that was quite good because we had very good bonding from the first camp with the goalkeepers. So everywhere I go after with the men's, I kind of apply the same philosophy. Again, when I go to Hajduk, I had one of the best goalkeepers in the world, all Croatian legends. And again, I have to find the ways to communicate with them. If I go inside and I now start saying to Lovre Kalinic, you don't do this, you don't do that, or I think you need to change this, I lose them in first five sessions, or even not that, maybe in the first session. But if I sit down with them and I speak with them and I'm saying I'm here to help you and I'm willing to change my ideas and beliefs to make you a better goalkeeper, and I give you ownership, because the training session is not for me. Eventually, every training session is for the goalkeeper. So this is one of the main things in my philosophy, is always players orientated. Then I have like four elements that I try to, four elements of the, when I plan the session, I always try to rely on them.
Implement.
So first one is, how does my environment look? How does my environment look in the training sessions? So for me, every environment needs to be always highly motivated and needs to be enjoyable, because over my years in working in young kids or older kids or so on, I think I realized that players learn much more when they enjoy things and through positive language rather than through negativity. So the environment, when you set up the enjoyable environment, they learn much faster. So, and it has to be highly motivated. To make it highly motivated, I always try to make it competitive, because football is a competitive environment, and they need to go and perform against the big crowds and try to win the results. So can we recreate that in training sessions? So every training session, we set up competitions. My favorite one is always goal difference. So in every practice we do, I get goalkeepers to count the goal difference. So you score, you plus one, you concede, you minus one. End of the day, or end of the session, whoever has the best goal difference is the best trainer. So in a way, it challenged every goalkeeper to push each other. Because we joke with goalkeepers all the time, don't say sorry when you score the goal. Better say sorry when you just give him straight into the hands the easy shot. Because the striker will not give you easy shots all the time. And because we work in a very small micro group, and goalkeeping union is a big thing for me, to having this bonding. And because if it only takes one goalkeeper to be a dick, and then the whole session collapses. If not, this is not where you have 20 players and one player can do nothing and is invisible. It takes one goalkeeper to not be up for the session, and the rest of the goalkeepers not getting work hard enough. So in a way, we all compete against each other, but at the same time, we all dependent on each other's to become better. So I always try to transfer that to the goalkeepers, but I wanted to make it so an environment needs to be competitive, it needs to be motivated, it needs to be fun. The second thing for me, big, is every training session needs to look like a game. So I'll try to always not to go too far away from the game. So I mean, it needs to look like a game. That I try to set up the areas that at least looks like a goalkeeping area. So I like the sessions with goals all the time. If I can, I always use goals. I don't like sessions where there's no goals. I use different variety of goals, small goals, bigger goals. I don't like the mini goals because I think it takes away a lot of decision-making for goalkeepers. So if you do one session in mini goals, the goalkeeper always just stays with the feet. While in the game, you have much higher goal to defend. So I tend to use the small five-a-side goals or nine-a-side goals, and then the 11-a-side goals. So there's three sides they use. I know we, like every goalkeeper, we don't work in the box all the time, because you're going to ruin the box after 2 weeks and then you have nowhere to train. So probably like in every club, we train in the corners, like most of the goalkeepers are. But I get the groundsmen to draw the lines. So we in Leeds have penalty spot everywhere. We in Leeds have 3 meters line. We have 6 meters line. And I use like the thing I call magic free angle, but I don't know how to explain to you without visualizing that. I draw for the goalkeepers as well. So in Leeds, they always, when we work, they have a reference point. Because goalkeeper is all about reference point, because you never look at the goal when you play. Most of the time you focus on what's in front of you. So when the goalkeeper has a penalty spot, when he has a 18-yard box, when he has a 6 meters line, 3 meters line, he always have a reference point, so he can always feel his position in distancing. So I know it's not always possible, but I always try to work in the areas that, first of all, looks like a game. So we work with the goals. We have drawings that have references points. Again, talking about the service, in this club in Crete, we don't use volleys at all. Maybe day before the game, we do just for fun, 10 catches, or in the game warm-up, the goalkeeper, if he needs, he has 2 catches. If you talk about the game warm-up, maybe I'll talk about this later. So again, we try to use realistic service that looks like a game. And I always try to set up the practices also. As I say, if it's game-related, looks like a game, can we make it competitive? So of course, we have a warm-up, we have activation parts, but then when we do the main part, can we make it competitive? Because then it looks like a game, because there's a consequence. One thing in the game and the practice, big difference between game and the practice. In the practice, a lot of times when you see goalkeeping practice set up, there's no consequences. In the game, there's always consequences. for every action you do, there's a consequence. That's why the game is much higher pressure, because you know you make a bad pass, there's a consequence. You know you're going to come for the cross and you miss, there's a consequence. Someone will finish back post. So when I try to set up a practice for goalkeeper and I want to make it game realistic, I need to make sure there's consequences. If we're doing crosses, can we have someone finishing on the back post? Can we have someone running and attacking the front post or middle post? Because then that affects goalkeeper's decision making. If I just do crossing without any semi-opposed or any pressure, of course goalkeeper will come for every ball, because they feel there's no consequences. So he don't have anything messing with his brain to say to him, don't go for this one because you might miss it. So I always try to impact that. Of course, we have warm-ups and smaller parts when you just give them a couple crosses to feel the catches. But the main part always try to look like a game. The other big wave in my coaching philosophy, like I don't want to sound, I don't know how maybe you cut this, but I don't coach technique, I coach skills. And I think there's a big difference. And especially in senior football, or like most of my career, I worked with professional development phase goalkeepers. So 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, and the senior professional goalkeepers. So most of them already come with a certain skill set. And I don't coach techniques. I like to call it, I coach skill. So I don't say technical practice, I say skill practice. Because the two big differences between skill and technique is, technique is isolated action, and skill is action applied in the game situation or under pressure. So one is to perform a catch when the goalkeeping coach is throwing to you the ball and you always know when it's going to come, and to catch the ball when it's struck from the floor and it might go into your head level, chest level, or slightly here or here, that's already a skill. Because there's a certain level of decision-making involved straight away, because you don't know the outcome. So going from that, so this is another thing that I say, I don't coach technique, I like say I coach skills. That's a big belief. And then going from skills, so if you know that you need skill to perform, not technique, then it goes deeper into part of anticipation. So that's where the anticipation steps in. With every shot struck from the floor, goalkeeper needs to anticipate. And to anticipate is how our brain works, is to anticipate things you're kind of predicting. So it's called like unconscious anticipation. So that's the difference between experienced goalkeeper and not experienced goalkeeper, because they can perform the same action without thinking, because their brain processes information and reduces the options from 1,000 to 5. So he performs the skill or action much faster because his brain processes the information faster. And I think that's why, because goalkeeper's game is all about this unconscious anticipation, about reading the triggers, what's happening in front of you, where the defender positions, how is the striker's body language look, how is the shooting leg look, and unconsciously you anticipate and you perform the action. So if you talk more about this anticipation, I also like to say that there's a big mistake when the goalkeeping coaches always say, oh, we work on reaction. Because basically, you cannot improve reaction time. You should always focus on the response time. So the difference between reaction time and response time is, reaction time is how fast you see the trigger. So it's basically how fast the information from your eyes goes to your brain. That's it. This is like 0.200 seconds. So you can make this better from 0.24 to 0.2, but it would not have a visual significance. But the big difference is then how fast your brain responds to the trigger and sends the action to your body parts to perform the action. And so that's one thing always the goalkeeping coach, or we do a reaction training session, technically it should be called anticipation training or response training, because and if you think all this, then working on skill rather than technique will make more sense. So not expanding into this. Yeah. That's the last part that I focus on when I plan my session is obviously the physical part of goalkeeper. So again, I like personally, I don't mix gym training and field training. I like to goalkeepers to work in the gym and the strength and power and speed work in the gym, and then on the goalkeeping field or on the football field, work for football actions and football related situations. So, but this, so all, to sum up everything, my belief will be always set up the right environment, always try to every practice look like a game, focus on skill development rather than the technique. And the most important is that everything needs to be players orientated, and it needs to give ownership for the players to take the ownership of their own development. So don't work with the same every time with the same with the different goalkeepers. So in Hajduk I work different than I work in Crete, and in Brighton I work different than I work in Hajduk, and so on. Yes, sorry.
Interesting, Steve. And thank you for going into detail about your perspective and approach on how to develop goalkeepers. And I want to transition a little bit into your background and your development as a goalkeeper coach, because I feel like a lot at this podcast, our main focus is the goalkeeper itself. But yes, the main guests we have on the podcast, the most guests we've had, is goalkeeper coaches. So I want to talk to the goalkeeper coaches out there and how to improve as goalkeeper coach, and maybe use you as an example. So you obviously talked about going from being a youth goalkeeper coach into the national team, and then going into men's goalkeeping, men's yes, football. So obviously you've worked with guys like Subasic, and I'm sure you've learned things from him as a goalkeeper. And being a goalkeeper coach and being a goalkeeper, it's like a two-way relationship. Yes. As a goalkeeper, you obviously learn from your goalkeeper coach, and the other way around. As a goalkeeper coach, you learn from your goalkeeper. So can you take us through a little bit about how you've seen your development as a goalkeeper coach, and maybe use an example as Subasic, like how could you use him in order to develop as a goalkeeper coach yourself?
Yeah, so yes, first of all, I mean, I was fortunate in the way that in everywhere I were, I met fantastic people, and they contributed mostly to my development. Of course, like everyone, I had to go through the badges and go through all the FA level 2, UEFA B, UEFA, and so on. But it's not the badges that makes you a better person, or not the job that makes you a better coach. It's the people that you meet. So first of all, when I get a job in Brentford, I was very lucky because we had fantastic group of coaches. Ozier Banju, who was a manager then, was very innovative and forward-looking. And he gave chance for young coaches. That because, look, I come to England, I was barely speaking English. I had no playing background in England. And I was just starting my badges. And he took a risk and gave me a job as a part-time then. But it was a chance for me to take this opportunity. And also, along me, there was another fantastic people like Valdas Dambrauskas, the same coach that now take me to work with him. We met him, we worked together in Brentford. There was Stuart English, who at the moment is, I think, academy manager in Sunderland. So, and then many more people that I learn from them every day going on the field. But in Brentford, what was different maybe from Brighton, that I was the only goalkeeping coach. So often you felt it's a small club, and often you felt like you're doing, and I don't know how you guys feel, but as a goalkeeping coach, sometimes it can be a lonely place because you specialize in goalkeeping, but there's not many specialists in the same area around. And often you hear them say, oh, you goalkeepers are from different world. And in the way we are, because we work in our own belief, and we, the specialist that works with small group, and we are working with the only player on the field who tries to prevent the goal, and the other 11 trying to score one. So in the way we are in the different world. So in Brentford, I felt at times that I was doing a lot, and I was young, and I wanted to do everything that I see at that, because I was young. I see something on the internet, I want to do it. Or I hear something on the course, I want to do it. And so then when I got to Brighton, that's where I probably learned the most, because in that time, we had fantastic group of goalkeeping coaches working in Brighton. So Ben Roberts was the first time goalkeeping coach, and he was very open. Like, his never problem would be to go and watch the session or ask to join in, and he'll say, yeah, no problem. Then Kasper Ankersen, maybe you know from Denmark, he was his assistant. Mark Mason, who worked now in Inter Miami FC, now come back to England, I think, was the head goalkeeping coach at that time for Academy. Then we had, he left, and we had Shannon Root came over from Reading, who was a fantastic person, helped me a lot to understand about how the people's mind worked, not to look at goalkeeper as a goalkeeper, but to look at goalkeeper as a person. And even later, we had Sal Bibo coming in, who was a very experienced goalkeeping coach, worked in Arsenal with Peter Cech, and Owen Fischer also, who was working with Junger. So we had a group of about eight goalkeeping coaches that you interact every day. And I would go to watch first team session and take notes and ask something. The first team goalkeeping coaches come and watch my session. They give feedback. The B team goalkeeping coach. So that was the best learning then as a coach. And even now, I think, because now I go to work with the national team and I go to work with the men's, and I'm on my own again. So now sometimes I feel, although I have very good relationship with the head coach and he shows great interest into the goalkeeping, but sometimes I feel again this, like I do a lot of stuff, but I don't have anyone to give me feedback on it. But that's where I think is important to speak to your goalkeepers. Don't be afraid to sit down with them and speak about this. This is my advice for the coaches. The coach is not the leader anymore that is authoritative and always leads by with the stick and saying, you need to do this and this and this. Now, the way that young people are and the way we are as human, we are more open and we is more normal to speak. So, and it's not, and now new leaders are the ones who show that they are open to things and they want to lead together rather than lead as a dictator. So best thing now for me is I sit down and speak to goalkeepers after the training session. What do you think about the session? We film the video. I sit down after, watch together, and I ask, not just giving feedback about his performance, I ask about the session. What do you think? Can we improve something? Because they are the ones who are participating in your practice. So sometimes they feel the practice better than I feel. And I think if you speak to them, and I noticed this, I said, from the national team when I first went in, and I had to do this because I wanted to engage with them. I felt the more you speak to them, the more they appreciate the impact they do in the session, and the more they understand that the session is for them, not for me. And then they get more engaged. And then they get more involved in the development of the session. And sometimes they say, oh, can we do this? Or can we do that? And with Subasic and Kalinic, we had a great relationship. I would speak with them and ask them, how is the training session? Do you want something different? I have some things that, like, for example, I do, like, day before the game, I let the goalkeepers to choose what training they want. So who is the starting goalkeeper? If a Lovre is number one, for example, in Hajduk, I say, okay, day before the game, is there anything you want? We don't have to do what I want. We can do what you want. Sometimes they say, no, coach, I want you to put the practice on. No problem. But some goalkeepers, especially the experienced ones, they know they craft. They know a lot of things they do, and we are sometimes creatures of habit. So if I make him feel better by doing the session that he wants and make him feel more confident going to the game, maybe it's better for everyone. The same with the match prep, like the pre-match warm-up. I never say that this has to be the pre-match warm-up. With every goalkeeper I work, I always give them an option of what is your match prep warm-up. I have now a young goalkeeper, Christos Mandas, which is a fantastic, fantastic goalkeeper and great kid. And but he's only 21. But even with him, I sit down and I speak. I said, when I first arrived, I said, is there anything you want specifically in the match day warm-up? And he's a young, and Mandas Christos, to be fair, he said, coach, I want you to do the warm-up for me. And this is perfectly well. We do a couple of warm-ups, and then we speak again after a couple of warm-ups. How do you feel? Is there anything you need? then he goes, yes, I need a little bit more of volleys because the game is for them. I do the same with Kalinic. And Lovre Kalinic has his warm-up planned from even how he steps to the pitch. And mm-hmm. from I first time when he tell me his warm-up, I had like two-page notes. Because he's a perfectionist. Lovre is a very good guy, but he's a perfectionist. And he wants every detail to be perfect. And that's how it works. That's what drives him forwards. That's why he's a great achieve what he achieved, because he always focus on small details. So his warm-up was like first warm-up. I was nervous because I had to remember what he wants. And Lovre is that type of character who is very fair and a very good guy. But if you don't like something, he'll tell you don't like something. It's not like, so with him was different. And but then he feel good because he said, coach, I feel that you care for me because you want for me to be good. And you approach them differently also in the practice. I said before, like, I believe that, I said that positivity will teach you more than negativity. And I also think that, look, every goalkeeper knows when they make mistake.
Yeah.
So when you make a bad catch, you don't need goalkeeping coach shouting, hey, you need to catch this. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. So always need to process how you give the information for goalkeepers. And you need to know each one individually who thrives on what. So Lovre Kalinic, he was perfectionist. He wanted, at his age, at 32, he still wanted for me to sit down with him and analyze all the details. And we'll have the base. We sit down and we speak about passing in, and I say, what about this? And he'll discuss with me, say, no, you know, from this angle is different. But at his age, you sit down every time and we analyze. He wanted to watch training clips. Sit down, watch training clips. Now I work with Christos Mandas, who is 21. He's very young. And for him, every information is new because everything for him is, oh, give me a lot, give me everything. It's like I was a young coach. I wanted everything. He still don't know what. So with him, I need to be more different. I need to give him more positive stuff, build his confidence going into every game because then he feels good about himself. If I come to him and I show him 5 mistakes he made in yesterday's training, day before the game, how do you think he's going to perform?
Not good. That's not something you want.
Yes, exactly. So, but Lovre Kalinic, sometimes it will be opposite. Mm-hmm. I know if I score a couple goals in the warm-up, he perform top because that will motivate him more to get even harder. So with Daniel was slightly different because Daniel was already in the most enjoyable time of his career. He already achieved everything he wanted to achieve, and now in Hajduk he was playing a more support role. But he was fantastic in this. I think I always speak like Lovre Kalinic last year got, after the fantastic season he had, he got called up back to national team. Mm-hmm. Because when he went to Villa, he missed on national team because he was not playing there. And then he come back to Hajduk, he had fantastic season. And I always say that this is not on me. The more than 50% on Lovre's fantastic season was because of Daniel. Because Daniel was the best teammate that Lovre had in every training session. He used to give him feedback. He used to motivate him when Lovre was down. He lift the mood up and have a smile on his face. When he needs something to say, encouraging word or experience, he will speak to him. And this goes back to probably goalkeeping union. And and actually, I have this belief that you need to always balance what group you have of goalkeepers.
Absolutely.
Because, look, not every goalkeeper is your number one goalkeeper. And some people might argue with me, but I don't think it's good to have 3 number one goalkeepers in one group. I think that puts extra pressure for every goalkeeper to perform. I like when there's clear number one, number two, and number three goalkeeper from the start of the season. I'm not saying it's not competitive. I'm not saying if you clear number one, that if you're performing bad and you're not delivering what you need to deliver, and your number two is doing it, we won't change it. But I'm saying that there's a clear roles for every goalkeeper. Then it helps to manage the union. And you sometimes need to select your supporting actor. You need to select your number one goalkeeper and need to be clear with your number two goalkeeper communicating that. then you avoid the friction in the season when everyone knows helping each other because there's unnecessary competition. So, and this is a learn probably from Hajduk when we had fantastic selection of Lovre was clear number one, and Subasic was fantastic teammate. And then I said, he only played maybe three fixtures, I think, in that season, but he contributed probably 50% to the season that Hajduk had by being a fantastic player in the change room and fantastic support for Lovre Kalinic.
Amazing.
So maybe that's also for goalkeeping coaches who listen in to when you come building your goalkeeping union, think what you want to have in here. So this is my experience from working with different people.
Yeah, it's an amazing insight. And I really hope that the coaches out there, they take notes because this has been enlightening and really brilliant. Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing. Yes. I'm starting to see more when I work with, and maybe I'll tell you know what one mistake that I did as a coach with the youth that I work with now senior goalkeepers. I wish I didn't do it. So as a youth coach, I always thought that every goalkeeper needs to be a good lad. If you know what I mean, like I used to think that ego hinders your performance. More I work with the top level, I think opposite. I think every top player or especially top goalkeeper needs to have a big ego. Because without ego, you don't achieve nothing. If you think like this, a young goalkeeper in England starts 8 years old as a goalkeeper. He probably until he makes senior debut, on average in England is about 23 years old. So it's quite late. So this is, if my math is correct, 15 years. In those 15 years, we know that only less than 1% of players will make it. So we'll probably have to fight with 200 kids over those 15 years for that spot. So if you don't have ego, how are you going to fight? When you go on your first, I'll give you an example, Robert Sanchez. I worked with Robert from 16 years old in Brighton when he came from Spain. I worked with him all the way until he went to the first team. He was a fantastic goalkeeper. On the first day when he arrived, the physical attributes he had was outstanding. But he also had big ego. But in a good way. He used to tell me every day that he will play for Spain's national team. And I'm not lying, we'll speak to him after training and go, coach, I'll play for national team. I play in Premier League. And as a young coach, I sometimes thought, this is no good because he's playing a big time or he's not humble. But I think his belief and he always thought that he's the best goalkeeper in Brighton.
Yeah.
And this is good. And that's what he got him to play in Premier League. He's at 23 now. I think he had more than 50 caps, if not more. And now he's in Spain's national team. If he don't have that belief, when he came from England, he could not speak English. He lived away from his mom, and not every day he played. And he could maybe not make it. He'll probably fall out. Lovre Kalinic has big ego because he's a winner. He wants to win every game. When I sit down with Lovre on the first day when we meet, I had a meeting, and I always like to ask goalkeepers this. I say, "What do you want to achieve? What's your target?" And some of them they say, "Oh, I want to train. Maybe have no injuries or maybe play a little bit." Some of them say that and it's fine. Lovre told me, "I'm here to win. I'm here to win cups and trophies for the club." And we sit in this club that not won a trophy for 10 years. In the past, is a great, Hajduk is one of the biggest clubs. But when we sit in this meeting, we not win the trophy in 10 years. And he tells me that I want to win the cup, I'm a winner. What do you think? We'll win the cup this season. If he not had this in his mind, he would not achieve it. Excellent. I have now sit down with a young keeper from off the Crete and ask him the same. What's your dream? My first question, what's your dream? He tells me, I want to play for national team of Greece. And now I'm thinking, yes, this is the goalkeeper I want to work with.
Nice.
Well, maybe in the past, you see a lot of coaches, someone who has a ego, we try to, ego is not good for you, don't have it. I think to make it in the elite sport or anywhere in elite environment, you need to be self-motivated, self-driven, you need to have a massive self-belief. So I think you should not try to coach the ego out, but try to help them how to transfer that ego into positive performance and to be at top level. And this is something I probably did in the past as a young coach, when I wanted everyone to be humble, to work hard. And I had a lot of good goalkeepers, but not many of them play in Premier League. Some of them are very good training goalkeepers, but you need that also, so different role. Yeah. But this is my advice maybe for our goalkeeping coaches, that don't be scared to work with players with ego and don't hinder it, but work with it and transform that ego into positive, because I think at elite level, you need it.
Yes, absolutely. Amazing insights. And it sounds like we should get Sanchez on the podcast to hear.
Yes, I think he'll tell you amazing stories. It's a very nice kid. And he went through a lot when he came 16. He could not speak one word in English. He lived away without family, without any friends. And what he achieved, I'm very, very proud of this kid and I'm very happy for him.
Yeah. Amazing. There are so many good key takeaways here, and I really hope that the listeners out there, they have listened and take notes. Shortly here and then, Justinas, we have a usual question that we always do to our first guest. So just shortly, what are your favorite gloves?
Oh, the favorite gloves are the free gloves. I always say this.
Same.
At the moment, I've been with my friend's company for like 5 years and scored 4 keepers. And I'm the loyal person. So because when you're a young coach, no one wants to give you free gloves and listen. But this guy supported me from and believed in me when I was younger. And over my career now, I always stay loyal to him. Those are very good gloves. And I think nowadays, a lot of gloves don't necessarily need to be expensive or main brand. They make a very good gloves. And I stay with my friend's company's 4 keepers. Is a Polish company, but they make very good gloves. So if anyone wants to check it out.
I played with a Polish keeper when I played in Norway for half a year, and he had 4 keepers. So I know of the brand. Well, Justinas, we want to thank you for your time and your insights. It's been absolutely enlightening to have this podcast. And as you guys can hear out there, he's a very knowledgeable coach and still young. So we'll continue to follow his career and go follow him and connect them on LinkedIn, follow Ofi Crete, and make sure to tune in again. Hopefully Justinas can come back for another episode one time.
Thank you guys for inviting, and I said to you before, I'm a big listener of your podcast, and sometimes when I'm looking for different opinion or different voice, it does help me to listen for other coaches. So keep on doing this great job, because I think all the goalkeepers around the world are listening to you, and you're making a big, big impact today coaching.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On Podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On Podcast.